Hey guys, welcome to Unpacking Design. I'm Mike LaValle.
And Tim Ung, and this is a show where we tell you about products and ideas that relate to designers all over the world. Hey guys, welcome back to Unpacking Design with Mike and Tim. Today's topic is one that is not relative to technology or apps, which has been something that Mike has been looking forward to. So today's topic is doubt as a designer.
All right.
And the reason why I came up with this one is because it's something that I constantly used to struggle with. Mm-hmm. Even today, I have these moments of doubt. And when I'm talking about it, I'm referring to doubt in the sense of your career path, the things that you do as a designer every day, the choices you have to make as a designer, and all of the decisions you're constantly making on a project, you know, anything from graphic design to architecture to product design. There's always the minor things. And you and I were talking about this earlier where you can get so nitpicky in certain areas that take so much time. So how do you finally overcome that doubt and come to the end where you can say, this is something I'm just going to put out into the world? So what is doubt? I think doubt is something that makes you second guess yourself. Which is funny because it's what you and I just were talking about before starting the episode. And it's something that I feel plagues a lot of the designers in the world. When you get into such a creative profession, you never know if you're on the right track. You never know if you're doing something that people will accept. You don't know if it's something that the world is ready to see, if it's something that is politically driven or anything like that.
Sure.
So how do you eventually come to a point where you can tell yourself, you know, I'm ready for this. I think this is ready for the world to see.
Yeah.
And to have the confidence to put something out there, stand behind it, and defend if you have to. Or to incorporate comments from other people and make it even better. And I think it all goes back to school. Every design profession has the critique sessions where you develop this crazy amount of work. You put your heart and soul into it. Then you sit down in front of a panel of designers, whether they're famous or not, who then criticize your work in front of you and tell you what you could have done better.
Sure.
And during these situations, there are so many people that see that and say, you know what, during the critiques, I feel like I'm just not worth it. I feel like my work sucks. I feel like I should have never done this at all. And there's nothing that I could do to get better. I mean, their comments are just so harsh or whatever it might be. And that sticks with every designer, even after we're done and we move into the profession. Everyone just has this sense of doubt and low self-esteem that's developed from that. So moving ahead from there, I think it's important for everyone to come to a point in their career where they can actually make these kinds of decisions, stand behind it wholeheartedly, and just say, you know what, this is what I believe, and I know what other people might say, but this is my personal way of design.
Yeah.
And when you look at the great architects and product designers and graphic designers out there, you'll see that those people stood behind an idea.
Sure.
A really good example is a graphic designer who's also a product designer and an architect. His name is Massimo Vignelli. And when he got into the profession, he came from Italy, and he was just constantly designing graphics for companies like American Airlines and the New York City subway map and all of this. And he had this very clear method of designing. And he even wrote a book called The Vignelli Canon, which is a fantastic short, brief book about his personal theory on design. And so when you look at a designer like him and you look at his aesthetic and you look at the way that he thinks and the way that he organizes his books, his pages, his clients' materials, the advertising campaigns that he does, they all are very clearly marked by his style. And so I think it's important for every designer to come to this point in their career where they can overcome doubt. Have you ever felt like you've encountered doubt in your career at some point?
Sure, I think so. The first thing I have is there's like the bigger picture of doubt, right? And then there's the sort of like every day I seem to have doubt about something or other, right? Whether it's an issue that comes up or a design I'm working on or something like that that I have to kind of tackle in the moment. So I think in terms of doubt for me, it's been more about where I thought I wanted my career to go. You know, where, and I think about it in even like these very big terms, like, where do I want to live? What kind of job do I want to have as a designer? Do I want to work for a big place? Do I want to work on my own? Do I want to, if I am working on my own, do I need to be near an urban area? Do I need to be, can I be anywhere? Can I like work remotely and like live like a writer does basically, mm-hmm. and just kind of experience life wherever? And I think there's a big sense of doubt just at that level where you don't know. In some ways, you don't know what you don't know, but you don't know if there is a correct or right choice. I think that's mm-hmm. kind of what it comes down to. And I'm still, I think that's the big thing I'm still always dealing with is like, am I making not the right choices, but the choices that are right for me at that moment?
Mm-hmm.
And I think that that's how I at least sort of like combat the doubt that I have. Like,
yeah.
I've come to the conclusion in some ways that like, maybe the things that we're doing as designers are not necessarily, I think part of the luxury that we have as designers is that we are in a subjective field to some degree.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we are sort of the creators of things where whether you get to the one end and you're an artist or the other end and you're an engineer, you're somewhere in the middle as a designer, I think, in most instances, where mm-hmm. you're trying to kind of blend the creativity with the practicality of whatever the problem is, right?
Yeah.
So in my mind, we are constantly making choices that aren't necessarily correct, in quotes, air quotes,
mm-hmm.
But that they are the best possible solution that we can kind of come up with based on what we know. It's like educated guessing mm-hmm. almost to some degree in the creative process. So I've had a lot of doubt in terms of those decisions that I make because sometimes I think, well, you know, I'm leaning on my gut here to like make these decisions, but at the same time I could be making a complete wrong decision. You know, I could be making the decision that either tanks a project or does something that I'm not expecting. And part of the doubt, I think, comes from that expectation. Like,
mm-hmm.
like anticipating problems and anticipating the possible positive outcomes mm-hmm. that could come from any of your decisions is very anxiety prone, you know?
Yeah. Like, and would you say that sometimes your doubt stops you from even pursuing a project before you begin?
Yes. Yeah, I'd say absolutely, because you're, you know, one of the things that I've been sort of struggling with in this sort of journey that I'm on is whether or not I should write a book.
Yeah.
And it's a book about careers and design and in my case, architecture. And it's something that I'm not sure if I should do or can do because, mm-hmm. not because I don't have the ability to write or the ability to like share my thoughts, but more of, I think part of my issue sometimes is that I'm comparing my either steps in my own career or my life or my processes to things that I'm seeing elsewhere. I think mm-hmm. everybody does this to some degree.
Yeah.
Of comparing yourself not to anything specific, but just seeing how many great things people are doing out in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, am I going to live up to that? Like, yeah. that's a fear, you know, it's part of this doubt. Like,
yeah.
you know, it's a heavy issue to tackle. So
yeah.
So thanks for this, Tim.
No problem. It's very interesting that you brought up the writing a book part, because you and I, although I'm writing a book now on starting an architecture firm, and I had the same thoughts you did. So I just want to walk everyone through the doubt that I encountered
yeah.
and then how I overcame that. So I thought of writing this book last year.
Uh-huh.
I was like, you know what? I led this seminar where I brought in these top professionals in their field from marketing to finance to law to tell us about what it's like to start their own, you know, an architecture firm if you wanted to. From that day onward, I was like, you know, I should turn this thing into a written thing. Yeah. So I turned it into a blog post, put it out there into the world, and it became one of my most popular blog posts. Even today, it gets hits every day.
Well, it's a good blog post. So.
Yeah, and it's very lengthy. And I was like, oh, I should write this book now. And that was a year ago.
Right.
So as soon as I started thinking about writing this book, I already had an idea of what it could have been. And it would have been based on that post. And then all of these doubts started creeping in. So I thought the same thing you did. I was like, you know, I can write this book, but there are people that have 40 years of experience over me who could write this book better than I ever could. They could do this thing and they could just get it out into the world. Why would someone want to hear what I have to say?
Sure.
And the other part of it was, I'm so young in the profession. You know, I was licensed in 2016, and now I've only been working at the time of this recording for 2 years as a licensed architect. So what do I have to share with the world, right?
Right.
Then to overcome that, it took a year of me just prodding around and thinking about this, like, when am I actually going to put this out? And finally, I was like, you know what? Anyone else could write this book who has more experience than I do, but they're not writing it. There are people that you know are capable of writing this book. We all know that they own firms all around the world.
Yeah.
But fact of the matter is, they don't want to take the time to do it. And leading that seminar, I went back to that thought and I was like, look, I'm not writing this book based on my own perception of the field and what we should be doing.
Yeah.
I can combine what they were talking about with my personal experiences leading projects and combine the two together to then come up with this book. And then as I was writing the book, I came so close last week to a point where that same thought came up, and I didn't even tell you this, but I was like, I thought to myself, why am I spending all this time to write this book that could be so much more in depth if I just waited 10 more years?
Yeah.
And then I was just like, why am I even writing this thing? Right? Like, who's going to want to read this? And I think that's the same thought every designer has. When they start a project, they're like, who wants to see this? Like, does this make me feel like it's a good piece of work? And as the designers, we always see the flaws in the things that we do. And so looking and reading through this book, I was just like, there's so much more I could say. There's so much more I could write. There's so whatever it is. And these thoughts kept snowballing. Yeah. And I was like, you know what? I'm just going to finish this thing. And so I finished the book. I put it all together. I made my design decisions within a few hours. And I was like, look, I'm just going to put this whole thing together. The graphics of it looks great in my mind. Mm-hmm. And I was like, only I know the errors that are in there, if there are any. And if I at least did my best to modify the book to be what I wanted it to be, then it's going to be the best that I could have done today.
Sure.
And 10 years down the road, I could write a version 2.
Yeah.
And so at some point, I thought back to Austin Kleon's book about sharing your work or showing your work. And I was like, I just got to finish this thing and put it out there and get over that fear of sharing.
So here's a question for you then based on that. So as we both have, we even talked about this morning before we recorded, how I really like tinkering on projects that I work on. And like sometimes I, to the point of like crippling my ability to share them with anybody and like finally putting them out there.
Yeah.
What do you think the difference is between general doubt in either yourself or your product or your design or whatever you're working on versus the designer's desire or sort of ability to lean into tinkering and to like not, I guess the best way that I can describe it for me is that in my case, it's, I don't necessarily think that it's any better necessarily if I keep tinkering on something, but I just love the process so much that I just don't want it to end to some degree.
Yeah.
What would you say is the difference in your mind for you, or if it maybe just in general, of like the doubt of a design versus like a desire to just, I don't know, just keep working on it and like keep like creating more positivity out of the organic process.
And so by tinkering, the way that I'm interpreting that term is just a refinement of a project. So the constant refining of a design. And
like, do you see that as a a kind of doubt, or is it doubt, or is it like something different?
No, I think it's totally different, because what doubt ends up leading to, in my mind at least, is it holds you back from doing something. Whereas the constant refinement or tinkering, as you were saying, is the constant development of something. It's totally different, and you can feel that in your body, actually. So when you're refining something because you love what you're doing and you don't want it to stop, you feel the energy to like keep doing it. You don't want to sleep. You want to just keep getting this thing further and further along. But when you have doubt, it feels like a pit in your stomach that's like, am I really going to quit? Am I going to let this thing go?
Right.
And you're just like, I thought I loved this. And then it leads to this spiral of doom where it's just like, you know what? Maybe I should just put on Netflix instead. Maybe I should just watch a TV show and not stop. And there's a big difference there. You know, it's, and I think every designer goes through that, whether it's during your time in school where you're the most creative you'll ever be, or if you're in a profession and you're starting off and you're being guided by your superiors, you're always going to encounter a project where you either want to keep pushing it and then your project manager is like, no, we got to get this thing out by next week.
Sure.
Or you're going to encounter one where you're like, why are we even designing this? Why am I designing toilets in this building? Or why am I redesigning the font size for this project that we've been working on? Or why are we talking about the box design for the product we're trying to sell within the box?
Yeah.
And everyone's going to have those moments where they don't want to do something, or where they start to doubt during the project and start asking things like, am I doing this the right way? You know?
So what are the ways... what are maybe ways that you've used for, I mean, because you, like you said, your book at this point is pretty much almost done.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like its final phases. Since that's kind of what we're talking about right now, what is something or a couple things that you've done to get past that level of doubt? Like, you were in that last week before this podcast. Like, what did you do or say to yourself to like, because now it's almost done and you know, you're about to send it out in the world. Like, what changed in the mindset?
Well, I did a lot of things. The first one was I read through what I did multiple times, and then it made me a little more depressed as I read it. I was like, you know, I could add this much more. I could do this much more research. I don't know. It's just a weird way of thinking about it. I was just like, I could add so much more content or research, or, and I was like, let me just step away.
Yeah, it seems like the opposite direction.
Yeah, and so the moment I stepped away, though, that's the important part. So I walked away from it, and I called the people that I knew in my life would never lie to me because they wanted to help me in a time of depression or sadness, where it's like they just keep agreeing, oh yeah, you know what, you should just take a break, like those kind of people.
Yeah,
I called the people that will look at me and say, you just wrote the whole book and now you're questioning the fact that you wrote it. Like, what are you doing? You're this much more ahead of the rest of the world right now,
right?
And you're going to pull the plug. And those are the people that I call. And it always starts with the closest people to me. And the first person was calling Andrea, my girlfriend. The moment I called Andrea and I was like, you know, I'm struggling with this book. I feel like I could make it better. And she was just like, you just wrote the whole thing. You know, walk away from it. Stop looking at it and then look at it in a few days. And when you look at it in a few days, you'll be able to determine is if it's something that someone else might want to read.
Right.
Or if you've been lying to yourself and just thinking that you were writing something great, but in actuality you were just looking at words on a page. And so I walked away, came back to it the next day, and I was like, you know, let me just look at it from an objective perspective as someone who has never seen this thing. And I looked at it and I was like, you know, there are a lot of good qualities here. And that's the turning point. So I started to look at the pros of the book rather than the cons. And I think when people have doubt, you're in a state of negativity where you're always looking at the doubts. You're looking at the no's, the don'ts, the cons, everything. So when you're looking at it from that perspective, you're only digging the hole for yourself, and that hole gets deeper and deeper and deeper. But when you can look at your work and say, you know what, this design aesthetic or this design decision that we made is a very good one. I'm glad we did that, right? Then you move on to the next thing that you did well. And you start to acknowledge the good things that you've done rather than the things you could do better. Because there's always going to be better. There's always going to be best in your mind. But that standard will always move. The closer you get to making it the best, the further along it's going to move away. So that's how I overcame it last week. And I was just, I'm happy I got over it.
Yeah.
So.
How do you feel about so at the time of this is why it's on my mind. At the time of this recording, we're just about to have, like, the Oscars are just about to happen.
Yeah.
In some cases, like, taking this from a completely different perspective, but I feel like it applies. In an actor's career, a lot of times there will be moments where there is a moment that they are recognized for, whether mm-hmm. it's because they got an Academy Award or they did, like, you know, the movie got a bajillion dollars at the box yeah. office or whatever, and they're like the most popular person yeah. in the world at the moment. And sometimes that's very early on in their careers.
Mm-hmm.
Now, applying that sort of general principle to a designer's life, has there ever been something where you've done something very early on so far mm-hmm. and you're, you know, the doubt is less about whether or not this thing is good, but it's comparing itself to something you've already done? So I'm thinking of your work in particular, Tim, when you're doing your 30 by 30, mm-hmm. you've already done 14, 15 projects mm-hmm. at this point of the 30. Do you feel like some of those are your best work ever? Or, like, are you constantly comparing yourself at all to the things that you've already done? Or are you always, should the designer's mentality always be something else and not necessarily dwelling? Because I think part of the problem that I have sometimes is that I am not necessarily comparing my work that I'm working on to anything around me, but sometimes it's like, well, I already did this really awesome thing. Mm-hmm. Like, this thing exists somewhere in the world, but this thing could be so much better.
Yeah.
Like, how do you, I don't know,
yeah,
how do you compare things?
I see what you're saying, and for me, I guess just to give a little context to everyone, the 30 by 30 that Mike is talking about is a goal that I set for myself to design 30 projects by the time I turn 30. And at the time that I set the goal, it was 5 years away. So I had 5 years to design 30 projects. As I went through each one, I definitely, at the beginning, was thinking, is project number two as good or better than project one?
Right.
Is project three better than project two or project one? And after some time, I was like, no, I shouldn't be thinking about it from this perspective.
Yeah.
Because I have to be able to embrace and to show my failures as well.
Yeah.
And by failures, I mean just the project that I'm not as I wouldn't say proud, but not as, I don't like it as much as the other one.
Yeah.
And the reasons are all going to change. But being able to say, you know what, project number three is its own project. It's its own entity. It's its own character. If it were a child out of my family of
right.
30,
yeah.
Project three is just as valuable as the rest.
It's a pretty big family.
Right, I know. And so if you think about your projects from that perspective, I think it puts it in a better context mm-hmm. because it's like, how can you look at one project and compare it to another when it's totally
sure.
different? What it boiled down to for me was, did I spend enough time on these projects to make them worth it? And at the end of the day, I always made sure that I spent enough time.
Yeah, yeah.
Because if it wasn't something I was proud of putting out, I wouldn't have put it out.
Right.
And if there were design decisions that I realized after the fact, when the project was done,
uh-huh.
then I'm like, you know, that could have been done better or whatever. I might think about it for a little while and I might apply it to a future project, but when that project is done, it's
right,
done.
It's done.
I don't dwell. And I know you and I talked about this before, and there are projects that you work on constantly from time to time. And
yeah.
I just can't bring myself to do that. I have to move on.
That's probably healthy.
Yeah, I have to move on. And I think that's relative to some designers and this idea of doubt too, though, because
yeah.
the way you're doing it is out of passion. You
right.
just love that project, so you keep going back to it.
Yep.
But there are designers who go back to projects that they realize they could have made just a little bit better.
Yep.
And they'll go back and they'll say, you know what? This thing isn't as good as I thought it was. I got to make it better. And they'll go back and make it better. And when you do that, you start to take time away from the newer things
sure.
that you could be working on, because you're constantly building on the past.
Yep.
So I look at the things I've done in the past and I learn from it, but I try and use it to inform the next decision that I make.
Yep.
So
I think the project that you're referring to in particular is a house design that I worked on at this point now 7 years ago is when it first started. And it was a competition design entry I submitted it. I didn't feel very good about it, and I put it away, but I was like, I have to come back to this at some point. So I came back to it, 2 years later, and then another 2 years after that, and then like every now and then I'll pull it out of the drawer basically and be like, hey, I need to work on this. And I think for me, like you're saying, it's not about doubt. It's about that like need to refine it, because it's almost become like an experiment, like my little laboratory of design. Mm-hmm. You know, like, could I make this a different thing? You know, so that Mark 3 or Mark 4 of this thing is it's almost like a reflection of wherever I am in my career or my abilities, like now.
Yeah.
I think I've finally put that away, and now it's probably done. Yeah. But I think that is definitely a difference from me doubting whether or not that should exist in the world versus just a passion project to refine not just the design but my abilities and to see kind of where I am now. Mm-hmm. And I think that's really important, because the doubt that you're talking about is a lot more sort of from not even like really insecurities, but our fears that the work that we're doing, like, it's not a reflection on ourselves, but a reflection on the purpose in some ways of like how we're going about a design or why we're designing that thing in particular. The thing that stood out to me while we were talking just now is, should I be designing toilets, you mm-hmm. know, or toilet rooms or whatever? It's like, you know, where does the intent kind of come from mm-hmm. in terms of the designer? And like, are we, like, everybody would love to probably have a very sort of idyllic scenario where they're designing the perfect product or the perfect thing for the mm-hmm. perfect situation. And I think part of the doubt comes when you have to like almost address the realities of a problem and you have to do the dirty work to kind of get to the solution as well. Like, should I really be doing this? It's like, well, maybe if you want it to function properly, like, you know, depending on what kind of designer you are or what thing you're creating, there's almost always going to be that thing that takes you away from the direct passion that you have for that design work. And I think that for me is something that I have to constantly remind myself so that I don't have that doubt sort of seep into the design. Mm-hmm. It's like, if I am worried about a building design, I'm worried about whether or not it functions as a building mm-hmm. and is, you know, a positive solution for the people who use it.
Yeah.
You know, it has to meet these bare minimum criteria in order to be a building. Mm-hmm. And it also has to meet these criteria as a design for me to feel fulfilled as a designer. Mm-hmm. And I think bringing those two together is really difficult. That's probably where a lot of doubt stems for people who are in design, is like, how do you marry those two things, you know?
Yeah, and the other thing to build on that idea is that I feel as if doubt plays a very important role in whether or not a design firm or a designer is able to get a project.
Yeah.
The reason why I say that is because if you meet a designer who is constantly doubting their work, constantly doubting themselves, and you witness them in an interview trying to get a project, or just sitting down with a client, a potential client, trying to show them their work, as they explain things, you can hear it in the ways that they explain a project or in the way that their voice sounds and in their tones. And when you listen carefully, you can tell if someone doubts their work. And sometimes that can make or break a proposal for a project. I think getting over doubt is something that's very difficult to do, but it all stems from having a more positive outlook on what you're doing.
Sure.
And that's what you and I have been uncovering during this conversation, that no matter what kind of designer you are, you need to find those things that you latch onto that you want to be doing.
Yeah.
And you also have to be looking at the things that you're doing well and building on those.
Yeah.
With the understanding that there's a bare minimum that you have to meet. Every designer has that standard. You have to meet the standard and then try and go above it and beyond it. And how you go above and beyond is where the doubt will start coming in.
Right.
You know, is the client going to accept this? Is it well beyond what they've ever envisioned? Is it something that the world isn't ready to see, you know, and just going beyond that and saying, you know what, I think we're ready for this, and getting to a point where you can confidently stand in a room and present your work and have people love it because of how you explained it with the energy and the passion that you have.
Yeah, and even if, I think the important part there too is, even if somebody hates it, you know, like it's, you know, you can't like feel for people. People are going to have reactions for whatever you put out in the world.
Yeah.
But I think it's more about the internalization of how the process makes you feel and trying to keep that positive so that even if, you know, it's a critical, I don't want to say failure, but it's a critical sort of series of comments against something that you've done, it doesn't mean that your work is any less valid. It just means that somebody has an opinion and it's an opinion.
I mean,
I think as long as you feel fulfilled as a designer and you are, like you said, meeting the baseline criteria, developing some sort of design or creation out of your mind and out of your soul and kind of like your positivity, mm-hmm. like it's never a bad thing. Mm-hmm. You know, it's always something that you're trying to do either for a bigger purpose or for the person who's going to use it at the end of the day. Or mm-hmm. you're like, usually designers I've found are very, very giving in terms of why they're trying to create the design in the first place. They're trying to do something to better the world or better whoever's going to use the thing or whatever.
Yeah.
So I think as long as you keep that, like you said, the positivity sort of moving forward, that's where, for me, the doubt kind of goes away, because I know that at the end of the day, I tried my best and I put something out there that I thought was, you know, fulfilling to me, but also positive for the world.
Yeah. And I think that's a good point that we can end on for this episode here. So thank you guys for joining us.
Hey guys, thanks for listening to another episode of Unpacking Design. And you can check us out anytime at the unpackingdesign.com website.
And you can also find us on iTunes and anywhere else that you listen to podcasts. Please remember to leave a review and share this podcast with someone you know.